Would you turn with me to Psalms 126 this morning? We're going to be starting a series that's called, What's the Hold Up? Now this one, I've titled this sermon, The Best Is Yet to Come. Have you ever felt like, what's the hold up? I've been there. I think we've all been there. If you have been in the body of Christ long enough, you have had the feeling, Lord, I've been serving you for a while. I'm doing everything I know to do. What's the hold up? So Psalms 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weepeth brings precious seed. I want to stop right there for a moment. Did you ever know that your weeping is seed? That is seed. What always remains?
Seed time and harvest.
Seed time and harvest will always remain. Now we're going to make this a little clear, a little more. Can I say this too? There's different types of weeping. Can I bring that out? There's different types of weeping. There's weeping because you were an idiot. Anyone ever have that type of weeping? Right here. My hand's not up to show you what to do. My hand's up because I have weeped because I made the wrong decisions. There's a weeping because you are being persecuted. Can I say this too? I got family members, right? Family members that are out of their mind. You know who just came to your mind with your family, all right? Family members who they never do anything wrong, but they always suffer. I'm just going to imitate one of my family members. Are you ready? You ready? Tim, I don't know what's going on. You know what? They're just jealous. They're persecuting me. And this is my statement. Honey, do you know the definition of persecution? Persecution is for doing something right. Persecution is not that you're an idiot. You don't speak to your family like that. That's all right. My mom doesn't like when I talk to my family like that. I don't understand why. I think they really want help. Because if you just baby some people. Now, don't talk to everybody like that. And don't talk to all your members like that either. You can get in trouble. But I just want them to quit coming to me. And they successfully have. But in all of this, persecution is for doing what is right, not doing what is wrong. That's called, if you're doing something wrong and you get, in trouble or yelled at or things go wrong, that's called, duh, I knew this was going to happen. But there are people who do what's right. They follow the Lord. They do everything that God tells them to do, and they get persecuted for it. And, you know, sometimes in the United States, it's hard to understand that. But you talk to our brothers and sisters in China, where their churches, if they're going to preach the gospel, they can't even have church in the same location twice. Hello? And let's go to Indonesia. Now, Indonesia's having a revival like crazy, which I love. Aren't you excited about that? But the heaviest persecution of Christians is in Indonesia, where our Muslim brothers have the highest population of any other nation. Radical Muslim brothers, I guess I should say. And so the church there is being persecuted, but there's a revival that's going on. And they understand persecution. Now, let's talk about American church persecution. We're like, we have to drive 20 minutes across town to go to church we like. Be like, you know, some of my friends don't even want to talk to me at work because they found out, you know, I believe the Bible. That's persecution. Now, I'm not trying to minimize persecution in the United States. We do have some persecution, and it is real. There are people who would mock, laugh, and not even try to overlook you for promotion simply because of what you believe, don't understand. They're fine with you saying you go to church and that you believe that Jesus is Lord, but the moment that you apply the word to your life, that's when it starts to get a little rough. So there is persecution. But whatever persecution you've ever faced for the gospel's sake, our brothers and sisters overseas have faced much, much more. And so let's not get in always me and whine about it. Let's do something about it. Okay? Let's apply the word in our life. But this is it. There is a weeping that comes from things you have done wrong. And there is a weeping, a sorrow that comes from persecution for doing what is right. There, I've had someone tell me, you know, I don't even like to hang out with my friends because they don't understand I'm trying to get out of debt. And so they constantly ask me, and now they bombard me because, you know, you're not fun anymore. Well, you know what? Getting into debt might have been fun, but getting out of it ain't so much fun. And so you refuse to keep racking up debt like they do every year and going deeper and deeper. What is that song? 18 times and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. You refuse to live by that standard. You refuse to keep going into debt. And so you're mocked. You're actually disassociated with because you ain't fun no more. First of all, the wisdom of God says, let's not get there to begin with. But if you are there, the wisdom of God says, now let's get out. All right. It sure is quiet. Do we have a lot of people in debt in this church? Because I'm just going to assume that's what it means when you're quiet. All right. And so in all of this, there is a weeping that comes from our own fault, and there's a weeping that comes from persecution. And persecution means you've been doing what is right, and you're being mocked, made fun of, and persecuted for it. You're making godly decisions, and the world is coming against you. You make godly decisions about the way you're going to live your life, the way that you're going to date, the way that you're going to do everything, and the world will mock you for it. They will mock you for it. And that is persecution because of God's word. And there's some sorrow. Living for God sometimes brings a little bit of sorrow, brings a little bit of weeping, brings a little bit of longing. But God says that longing, that weeping is a seed. And what do seeds always do? They bring a harvest. So your work and your what you're doing and that longing and that time, it's not in vain. It is not in vain. God promises that there will be a harvest. Amen. All right, let's continue to reading. Where did I leave off? Anyone know? That was a test. Most of you failed right then. Psalm 6. He that goes forth weeping and bringing precious seed shall doubtfully come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. How many has been saved for 20 plus years? All right, you've been in church 20 plus years? Bringing in the sheaves. Yeah? Yeah? Hymnal. Oh, y'all haven't been here. Like, bring, what? In our church used to sing it horribly. Horribly. Not our church, but the church I used to attend when I grew up. They would say, it was a sad occasion. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. And then there's a part in there. Sowing in the sunshine, bringing in the sheaves. It was terrible. I mean, like, I don't know what sheaves is, but the way you're singing it, I don't want any. But the sheaves, that is the harvest. Right. It should be upbeat. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Every Sunday morning. All right. That's just me. You need to put some umph in it if it's something that's good. But by the faces of the people singing it, you would have thought, that's a bad thing. I mean, like, is that a disease? I mean, like, I don't know what it is, but leave it outside. All right. And so there's those rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Now, I want to read verse 5 in the, I think it's the Living Word translation. Those who cry while they plant will joyfully sing while they harvest. That's a promise from the Lord. So the persecution, the weeping because you have done something right. God says there's coming a moment when the harvest comes in. It may have been tough on your flesh in the beginning. 2014 might have been tough because you had to do without some things. You had to sow in some tears. But God is promising. It's one thing if Pastor Tim promised you, I can fail you, I can disappoint you. But God's word has promised you that when you sow in tears, while you planted, joyful singing will come in during the harvest. Laughter will be in your mouth during the harvest. You will be bringing in the harvest of what God has promised you, and you'll be laughing. If there's tears, it'll be tears of joy. And you'll be able to say, I knew God was good, but I had no idea He was this good. Mm. Those ordinary things you were doing, those ordinary things, it seemed so ordinary. I was faithful to church. I showed up. I paid my tithe. I was kind. I was friendly. I was doing what the Lord told me to do. And you were in pain doing it. God says there's coming a harvest. There's coming a harvest because you have been faithful to God's word. And it's not because you've been faithful to God's word. It's just you've been working principles that the Lord set into place. And the principles that he brings into place does not. Can I ask this question? How many of you grow things? Legally. Okay. Just wondering. I mean, in this day and age with Colorado and all this, we better be asking these questions. You know, I love to grow things. Legal stuff. And I even enjoy growing during the wintertime. Like, I have a setup, and I haven't got into it yet, but last year, growing vegetables. I don't like growing flowers. That's fine. If you like growing flowers, that's great. But I want to eat what I grow. I want to grow a cow. No, I'm just kidding. But... But I like to grow things, and I like it to have a purpose. I like it to have a point. We have a plant in our house. It looks like it's been dying for the last 4 or 5 months, but it's basil. And I keep watering it, and it keeps growing. And we keep ripping it off and keep using it. But we'll have lettuce growing. Lettuce is like the easiest thing in the world to grow. Grow some lettuce. And so all this kind of stuff, growing lettuce, growing bell peppers, growing mint, growing all these things that we enjoy using and having the lights and everything set up. You know, I plant one tiny little seed, and I get a harvest off of it. And the harvest is greater than the seed that I have planted. So your tears might have been floods. It might have flooded your life. It might have flooded. 2014 last year might have been a flood of sorrow for you. I'm believing it wasn't, but it might have been. Think about the seed that you've sown. The Bible says you're crying for doing what's right. You're weeping. You're longing for doing what's right is a seed. So that seed that was sown, the harvest is better and greater in number than the seed that was ever sown. You don't sow one and get one. You say, you know, in Wisconsin, we grow corn, do we not? What is the top yield? Does anyone know of a stalk of corn? What's the top yield? Anyone? The average yield, 1 to 2, that is with no GMOs. But with GMOs, that's like up to 20. The average in the state of Wisconsin is 15 corns of ear. Excuse me, that's not right. 12 corns of ear for stalk. That is the average farmer's harvest. That's called gene manipulation. All right. GMOs. But let me tell you something. The Lord is greater than humans manipulating a gene. Hello? His harvest don't need to be manipulated. So let's just take seed time and harvest, what we already know of seed time and harvest. God's harvest to you is greater than what we could ever come up with. So what you have sown, don't give up, don't give in, don't stop, don't sit down and whine, because nobody likes to hear that anyway. Get up and get ready for your harvest. Get ready for your harvest. All right. Genesis 8 and 22. You don't have to turn there, but it states why the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest. It says cold and heat. We know that's true. Especially Wednesday. We will really know that's true. I know. Don't worry about it. Day and night shall not cease. Proverbs 22 and 8 says, he that soweth in iniquity shall reap vanity. And that is, ladies, just for you to know, that is not that little thing you sit in front of with makeup. Someone say, like, I need to sow some iniquity so I can get a new vanity. No. And what I'm bringing this up for is that you can sow good seed and reap good harvest. And you can sow some bad seed, and guess what that reaps? Mm-hmm. Can we just bring this down a little bit? Max out all your visas, masters, and apply for all of them. Get them all. Max them all out. That is not good seed to be sowing. Because you know what? You're going to have a harvest on that at the end of the month. And if you can't pay it, Visa, Master, Discover, they're going to call you. They're going to turn you in. And that's going to go against your credit for more than 7 years. Hello? All right. And so there are good things we can do and there are bad things we can do. Now, look, you've given your life to Jesus. There is grace and mercy, and we can live in that grace and mercy. It's not guaranteed that we don't have to do something about our past. Hello. But the matter, the fact of the matter is that God is now for us and working with us, and we're working with him, and he can cause things to come to pass much quicker than we can on our own. I am so thankful for that. Amen. All right. Now, and if we're truthful about it, we have sowed good seed and we have all sown bad seed. Okay. Even your past. I have sown bad seed in my life. And thank God I haven't reaped the harvest of everything that I've sown. Amen. Are you thankful for that? Ooh, Lord, I'm thankful for that. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, these seed time and harvest, a lot of times ministers will use this, and rightfully so, for offering and giving. You give and it shall be given. Wow! Everybody gets excited about it. Everybody runs around. Everybody dances. Everybody wants to give, and that's wonderful. But this is a principle that you apply to every part of your life. Pastor, I don't have no friends. Well, the first question I always ask is, have you shown yourself friendly? And I've had people tell me, well, I've tried. Well, stop trying and do. Okay? And I've had people tell me, well, I'm so lonely. Well, okay. Well, show yourself friendly. Invite people out. Go do something. Now, and don't take it to the extreme, okay? Do you know what happens if you just do nothing but water a seed 24 hours a day? It will die. It will die. And so if you, I don't know why they haven't called me back. I've texted them 55 times. I called them 80, and I put them on Facebook, Twitter, and I've just sent messages to them like crazy. They're running from you because you are a weirdo stalker. Stop it. Okay. So don't overdo it and don't underdo it either. And I've had this happen. I've had this happen where somebody, in they're not here. So do not try to point this out. They left a while back, right? And so they would always say, we don't have no friends. It was a couple. And so I told Jesse at the time, I said, you know, we really should try to pull these people in. And they moved here. They need friendships. And we would invite them out to several things. And they would constantly tell us, okay, we'll go there. And then the moment it came to it, they would cancel every time. Every time. And we invited them out to something they said they would go. And then I got a phone call from the husband, and he made the statement. He said, you know what? I said, we're not going to be able to go. I'm like, why? He's like, well, my wife, you know, we knew about it, but it's a certain time and she doesn't want to get up and get ready. I mean, like, this is why your lazy butts have no friends. You know, I didn't say that. I wanted to. But this is it. There are people who will talk about their problems, but they are perfectly conditioned to be in the condition that they're in.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is really good. And so I'll say it one more time then. Some people are in the perfect condition. They're everything that they are doing produces what they have in their life. And so if you don't have any friends, show yourself friendly. Show yourself friendly. And it's seed, time, and harvest. This works for a lot of things. This works for a lot of things. All right. So anyway, let's go. You found 2 Corinthians chapter 9? But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Is if you're going to do some things, you got to know what it produces. So show yourself friendly. All right. Can I say this? Don't be a whiner. Nobody can stand that, right? Don't be a whiner. And then don't make every time you meet all about you. Can I give y'all, don't raise your hands, but if you're looking for some friendship, I'm going to give you a couple keys that's just going to help you, right? Be faithful, all right? Be dependable. Show up on time. Get there. And don't always cancel. Don't be a whiner. Don't be over aggressive in a friendship, and don't make it all about you. We don't want to hear all your problems. We're out to have a good time, right? So the last thing we want to do, now I'm not saying you're not going through something bad, right? So there's times where we share some things, but my Lord, don't be Debbie Downer every time we get together. We're like, oh, isn't this great? Yeah, but you know, the sun is shining. I didn't put any sunscreen on, and cancer kills more people than anybody else in the United States. Like, good Lord, get away from me. Be like, we're so thankful for snow. Yeah, but that, you know how many people crash because of that? We're like, no, be quiet. Don't say those things. All right. And so there's some, you know, there's some relationship stuff. Be trustworthy. Be dependable. Don't use people. Be respectful. Be loyal. Okay. Do those things. And if you always don't have friends, the only common denominator in that is who?
You.
Yeah. Everybody needs to change. Everybody has problems. No. Sounds like you're the one who might need to change. Oh, thank you. Because it's so easy to blame everybody for your issues. And we're in a nation that loves it. We're in a nation that loves to blame every reason on every other thing except for themselves. And there are some things that aren't your fault, but a lot of them probably are. All right, let's move on. Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, the whole earth is set up on this principle. Even in the New Testament, Jesus says, when he talks about the principle of sowing the word of God, sowing the seed, he says, everything, if you don't get this principle, you ain't going to get jack after this. You got to get this scripture about planting the word. You got to get this scripture, you got to get this parable about seed time and harvest, or you ain't going to understand the kingdom of God at all. That makes me think, if God says, I'm not going to understand anything else, if I don't get this principle, I better start studying after this principle. I don't think you're with me as much as you should be right now. Shake your heads a little more. All right, perfect. I feel better a little. All right. So, seed time and harvest will be with us forever. And the greatest seed on the face of the earth is the word of God. You can't sow better seed than God's word. All right, so seed time and harvest will be with us forever. Be not mocked. God will not be mocked. He is never mocked. You would mock God. People pray, Dear Lord, bless me. Bless me with a mansion. Bless me with a boat. Bless me with this. When have you sowed anything? God is not mocked. You're trying to give a skateboard and sow a Cadillac. Or reap a Cadillac. You know what I'm saying. What do they call that? Skateboard giving and Cadillac living. No. You've got, there's principles here. And God is saying these principles will always remain. For you to get something that you haven't been sowing seed toward is a mockery to the word of God. And a mockery to the Lord. I'm just going to walk right out of this back door now. Don't look at me like that. That's true. Now, I'm not saying, hey, I've reaped things that I did not deserve. Actually, if you look at pretty much everything in my life, I don't deserve none of it. I did nothing to deserve a good-looking wife. But, whoo, faithful. Oh, I prayed. Lord, I prayed. When I was a youth pastor, we had a prayer board, and my youth noticed that I didn't put something on the prayer. So I put two things on the prayer board, a raise and a hot-smoking wife. And I got both of them. Praise the Lord. I can come back up here now. I got to be where I can't see her when I say things like that. So, in all of this, the world has it backwards. They want to reap a harvest. This is the world. You know, have you heard this saying? I'm so thankful it's kind of dying out. YOLO. Did you hear that for a while? YOLO. It's YOLO, right? You only live once. They make that statement so that young people can do stupid things and use that statement as a way out. YOLO. I'm like, hello, I'm going to do something stupid because I only live once. Well, that's not true. The word of God goes against that statement. Yes, this flesh will only live one time, but your soul will live for eternity. Amen. Your soul is going to live for eternity. And so the world will tell you, be young and stupid early. You don't have to save in your 20s. You don't have to save in your 30s. You blow it. Live the life, man. YOLO. So when you're broke, busted, and disgusted, living under a bridge in a cardboard box, you can remember YOLO. Because all you're going to be eating is Rolos. Seed, time, and harvest. And so you're working hard in your 20s. Can I tell you something? I'm so thankful for my father. When it came to finances, he always taught me about finances. And I am so thankful he did. Early on, he taught me about finances. The way my father raised me, I was tight with money. I was very tight. I didn't like to spend my money. My sisters, I remember one time we went to go get in Florida, right? During the middle of the summer, very hot, snow cones. I still love snow cones. I love snow cones. And in Florida, they get creative. They have cheesecake snow cones. Oh, praise him. Yes, they pour condensed milk on top of it. It sounds disgusting, but it is delicious. And then they have, this is one of my favorites because I love pickles, but they have a dill pickle snow cone. You don't know what you're missing. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And so I remember going down and my daddy taking us off, but we had to bring our own money. We had to bring our own money. And it was a dollar back then. It was a dollar. And we went down and my daddy said, son, why aren't you ordering? I'm like, daddy, I'm not going to spend my money. And he's like, daddy, will you buy me one? No, you use your own money. And I remember crying. I was crying because I wanted a snow cone so bad, but I wouldn't dare spend my own money on it. You want to know why? I was saving for a horse. This is a true story. My father, when I was a kid, I wanted a horse so bad. And I told daddy, I said, daddy, I want a horse. And this is what my daddy said. He said, son, the day you buy yourself a horse is the day we'll have one. 10 years old, I bought a horse with my own money. With my own money, I bought a horse. And you know what my dad said when I had the money to buy the horse? He said, but son, wait, we can't have no horse. We can't have no horse. And I said, daddy, you've always told me a man is only as good as his word, so I know we will have a horse. And he said, God, I guess we better start building a stable. I got my horse. It also helped me that I was the highest paid employee my grandfather had. Woo! Good money. And so the Lord will turn around what was meant to destroy you into a blessing. And so I remember crying, but you know what? My mama, bless my mama. When I came home and cried and had no snow cone, my mama said, Tommy, why's that boy crying? He wouldn't use his money to buy himself a snow cone. You didn't buy him no snow cone? No, I didn't buy him no snow cone. Tim, get in the car. Let's go. My mama bought me a snow cone. You might sow in tears. Lord, I want that horse more than I want a snow cone. There are going to come times that what you're focused on, there are other things that pop up that you really want, but you're going to have to do without some things to get the good that's at the end. Because you're walking and running your race with purpose. This is how most Christians run their race. Running, oh, look at this. And they get off track. And then they decide, I'm going to get back on track. Oh, look what's over here. And they keep getting off track. And it takes them forever. And then they don't run anymore. They're walking. I've been running forever. And look at Pastor Debbie, he already got a horse. I've been on this track a lot longer than he has because you went and got 50 snow cones. I went and got my horse. And so there are things we've got to be focused on. We've got to be purposed about. We've got to be set about. What's the holdup? It's us most of the time. We got to run and run to win. The Bible tells us that we have to run our race like there is a prize at the end of the run, and we're going to get the prize. So we've got to be determined. And there may be some time of loneliness. There may be some time of being sad, but the end result is what we're looking for. The end result is what we're looking for. Now, I want to say this. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Labor gives way to leisure. And sorrow gives way to joy. I'll say it again. Labor gives way to leisure. And sorrow gives way to joy. Luke 6 and 12. Blessed are they, are ye that hunger now. Now, let me say this. We read this scripture and we're thinking, how blessed are those that are starving? No. That's not what it said. Blessed are those that hunger. Let's read this word hunger. Now, in the Greek, it is the word penial. It means to be hungry, to suffer want, to be needy, to seek with eager desire. Let's use that definition for this. To seek with eager desire. I want blessing in my life. I want good friendships in my life. I want a good job in my life. We'll seek with eager desire. I've had people tell me, well, what can I do to get a better job? What are you reading? What do you mean, what am I reading? What are you doing to improve yourself to get a job that's better than the one you have? What are you doing at the work? Are you putting in extra? Are you showing up on time? Dear God, if you show up on time and leave a little late every day, you beat the majority of people in the world. You're ahead immediately. So what are you doing? What are you sowing into yourself? Can I say this? If you don't sow into yourself, there's very few people who will. There's very few people who will. You better start sowing into yourself. All right. Because what, listen, seed, time, and harvest. So when you sow in yourself, you're going to get a harvest. What you're putting in, you're going to get something out. Hey, and I like video games as much as the next person, but you know what I like more? I like living a better life more. I like having more finances when I'm in my 60s more than I do spending, you know, 50 hours on Xbox. Hello? I ain't preaching against Xboxes. That's fine. Have your Xbox. But put stuff into priority. Put it into priority. Can I say something else? I would rather have a good relationship with my daughter. Daughters, I have two. I would rather have good relationships with my daughter than to come home and finish the work that I didn't finish at work. I'd rather wait till they go to bed and then finish my work. Because this time is only for a season. And there will be a day that I won't be daddy like I'm daddy today. I'll always be daddy. But right now, I'm everything. And there's going to come a day that mama's going to take my spot. Single tear. But it's necessary. And I will always be daddy and I'll always have a great relationship. But it's dependent upon me doing the right thing now. And it ain't always what I want to do at the moment. But I'm focused on a bigger picture. I don't want my daughter on MTV at age 16. Mm-mm. I don't want her to have her own show. No cameras are coming in our house. All right? You get my point. You get my drift on that? All right. So I got to be the relationship with them now and putting the things in their life that I want to see manifest now, planting the seeds. Like my father took me aside at very early age and planting seeds of finances, how to deal with money very early on in life. I've got to teach my daughters how to do the same thing, but also how to live life like a lady. And I got to plant those seeds now. She's only three. I know. Let's put them in there early. Let's put them in there early. All right, so hunger, to seek with eager and desire. Now, we said this already, but labor gives way to leisure and sorrow gives way to joy. Psalms 30 and 5, you don't have to turn there, but it says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, hello, joy comes in the morning. Do you know when morning is for you? Sometimes it is the next day. But morning is at your very darkest hour. When that hour is done, morning comes. You might not even see the light yet. But at 12:01, you don't see the light yet. But it's morning. Joy comes in the morning. So your problem has an expiration date. And it will expire. You know what will not expire? You will not expire. You're going to keep going through. Your problems will fade away, but you will keep pushing forward. 1 Corinthians 3 and 8. I want you to turn there. There are times that doing the will of God can bring sorrow. Now, we don't have to believe God for it. Jesus said, they persecuted me. What makes you think they're not going to persecute you? Now, can I say this? Even in the persecution, there comes a point where we get in a place of God that we don't even notice the bad times like the rest of the world would notice it. The persecution just doesn't even bother us. It doesn't even seem like it affects us like it used to. And you know, that's called growing up. Hello? You'll notice in your life a year from now, you'll notice, you know, that used to push my buttons. That used to set me up. That used to get me. That used to cause me to yell. That used to cause me to get in people's faces. That used to cause me to absolutely act insane. But today it doesn't even bother. It still is irritating. It's still irritating. But it's no more a flood. It's like a drip. It's called growing up in the things of Christ. And so there might be some persecution that come your way, but it won't even bother you like it used to bother you. It won't even affect you like it used to affect you. So you'll get to a place where some of it you won't even notice anymore. Other people are freaking out about it, and you won't even notice it. Other people have told me, you know, if I would have went through that, I would have done this and that. And I think, you know what? I really didn't even notice that I went through it. Because there's a grace to be there. Hello? And we can handle it the same as Jesus Christ did. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Now he that planteth. Now can I say this? There's seed time and harvest. And it's more talking about souls. Where someone plants and then another person reaps. We're not talking about souls here. We're talking about you here. All right. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. There are things that you should do every day in your life for no other reason than they are right. They're right. I plant the word of God in my life every day I wake up. Every day I plant the word of God. You want to know why? Because it's right to do so. We should keep the word before us. There are some things I do just because it's right. In traffic, I let people out. You want to know why? Because it's right. It's nice. I enjoy when they do it for me. I enjoy. And some people, and please, 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 this is just road hazard issue. Don't pass on the right. That is so against the law. And I've seen so many people do it in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's full of people who pass on the right. You can cause a traffic accident. Stop that mess. And stop going through bus lanes through intersections. That's illegal too. All right. Now that I'm off my soapbox on issues of driving. Galatians 6:9 says this, let us not get tired of doing what is right. I'm reading out of the Living Bible translation. Let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap the harvest of blessing if we do not get discouraged and we do not give up. You want to know how not to reap a blessing in your life? Get discouraged and give up. Deal with discouragement. Discouragement will come. Deal with it. It ain't always easy, and sometimes those tears roll. Recognize the tears are seed because you're doing what is right. There is a pressure just to join the rest of the world and do it like they do it, work in their system. But you know what? Every system the world has ever come up with, every kingdom they have ever built, destroys and it falls. Every kingdom the world builds falls. The kingdom of God has never passed away. It's still here today. In the last 2,000 years, the Bible still stands and kingdoms have risen and kingdoms have fallen. So, let's not get tired of doing what is right. It can sometimes be tiring doing what is right. It can be discouraging. And it can cause us to want to give up. I've had people tell me, dear Lord, how long am I going to have to deal with this? Dear God, I've been serving the Lord for a long time, and it seems like others are getting ahead, and I am being left behind. You're in your time. Right. You're planting seed. You're in your time. Harvest is coming. Look at your neighbor and say, harvest is coming. Look at your other neighbor and say, don't give up. Because we are right around the corner for our harvest. Deuteronomy 32:28. I'm going to read one more scripture after this, and I'm done. Yes, I am. For they that are a nation void of counsel. There are people who hate counsel. If you hate counsel, you're going to suffer some problems. You're going to suffer some problems. I'm not saying you got to listen to every counsel you're given, but at least take counsel into consideration. Take counsel into consideration. All right? All right. Hears counsel and receives instructions that thou mayest be wise in thy latter. The world wants you to have everything in the beginning and then, you know, deal with things at the end. They talk about the good old times, talk about how things were, and now you're living off the government, and now you got to have that check, and now all this is going on, and you're old, and you can't do much anymore. That's not the kingdom of God. We don't live by YOLO. We live by God's way. And God wants our end, our latter, to be greater than our beginning. And so when we plant the things early on in our lives, we will reap them as we get older. You're supposed to be like a fine wine. You're supposed to get better with age. Hello? All right. So God never meant for our youth to be greater than our days when we get older. God meant for every day to be better than the day before. Every year to be greater than the year before. Not that you're not going to deal with things. But listen out. You might face some things that you know 5 years ago would have destroyed you. That's called getting better. That's called growing up. That's called planting seeds in your life that when that problem showed up, the harvest was there to keep you rock solid. It would have crushed you. You would have failed. You wouldn't have known what to do. But because you've done the right things, you were able to handle it. You were able to handle it. Deuteronomy, I already read that one, right? A nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding. Verse 29, it says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would have considered their latter end. You need to start considering your latter end. You need to start considering. What is it that you want to do? It may seem so insane. Well, what can you do? What steps can you do this today and this week to get closer to that goal? What can you do now to get closer to that goal? You want to have a savings account? Well, start putting a dollar away a month if that's all you can do. I don't care what it is you could do. But whatever it is, get that done. All right, ready? Job 8 and 7. I'm ending with this. You turn there and we're ending. There are things that you should be doing now to prepare for your latter end. The greatest thing you could ever do in your life to prepare for the latter is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the greatest seed and the greatest thing you can do for your life, because that affects your eternity. If you're 99 years old, I don't think we have anybody here 99 years old, and you're about to shake hands with eternity, the greatest seed you can sow is the seed of accepting Jesus as your Savior. Job 8 and verse 7. Though thy beginnings was small, yet thy latter should greatly increase. Now, you know, people read the story of Job and they talk about all the problems and all the destruction that he had in his life. And they talk about it like it was his whole life. It was a short period of time. It was small. I think the most I've ever heard, the least I've heard, is theologians say about 1 month. And then I've had other theologians say 9 months. So let's just say a year at the max. One bad year. And God made sure that his end, right after that year, he exploded in everything. Family, wealth, friendships, everything he exploded in. You know, I'd put up with a little bad to make sure that I go to the end. Now, thank God we're under a different covenant than Job. And so right now, let's be determined for this year to sow friendships, to sow love more than we do hate. Hate shouldn't even be in our life. Hello? And let's sow the goodness of God in our lives and to others than we ever have done before. Let's sow our time in the church for the kingdom of God. Let's sow our lives for God's kingdom. And if we are facing trials and tribulations and we're doing what's right and tears are coming, every tear that flows down your face, that is a seed that will bring forth laughter and bring forth joy. Amen. Every hard time I face because of the kingdom, because of living right, is going to produce a harvest that was so great that we can't even imagine the goodness of God. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that your kingdom will never pass away.